Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. New champions are crowned in both promotions. Who got caught not paying taxes and who reintroduced their old title? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Rey Mysterio Jr. is really sick and he actually missed the Egypt tour, Aaron. What happened with this?
Yeah, it turns out Rey caught something. The early reports were saying flu, but it sounds like it got a lot more serious. So it's smart to keep him off of a tour, you know, because you don't want him to get sick. And also, I mean, you know, traveling across seas, that's not easy to do, you know, being in a plane for 12 hours and whatnot. The only thing I'm really concerned about is, you know, him and Sin Cara are in the finals against the Rhodes Scholars. And this could put a little bit of a damper going into the pay-per-view to the point where they may forfeit their chance to face Team Hell No.
That is correct. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this. You know, I'm going to speculate here because I know you have to have certain shots when you go over there. I'm wondering if the shots that he got sick from, because that is a possibility. Like when you get a flu shot, sometimes people get sick right afterwards. And I'm wondering if he had just a strained reaction to the shots that he had to take. So... But anyway, so this is going to be in our show notes, and you got to check this out. Sean Devari, if you remember, a couple weeks back, actually was considered a quote-unquote hero, and except he doesn't believe that still, but he actually beat up a guy and threw him off this train. Well, apparently, there's video of this now, and they released the video to the media, and there's a link on here you can click to check the video out. It's hilarious. It's pretty much what he said, except that it took him and another guy to throw this guy off the thing, and he kind of got a little cheap kick at the very end. But no one's pressing charges, because I don't know if the guy who got beat up should, you know, press charges. So make sure you check that video. I just got to say something like that. But also, the WWE, in quotes, got caught not paying taxes. Or did they? Did you hear about this, Aaron?
I heard a little bit, but it sounds like you got more.
Okay,
info.
What happened was someone came to the WWE, and this happens because, of course, everyone knows Linda McMahon's running for a Senate seat, which she's not going to get the way it looks. And they're trying to dig deep in everything. And when you're on the stock market, you actually have to get audited constantly. You basically, if I'm correct, if I remember this properly, you actually have to have someone that does not work for the WWE at their headquarters going through all their books all the time. So they're getting audited basically 24/7. Well, it turns out that actually the WWE, they paid too much in their payroll taxes, and they paid almost $500,000 between the years of 2005 to 2010 over what they should have paid. So the WWE is going to get $500,000 plus interest back. And I find this weird because the person who dug up the story, they basically got re-audited again, and it turns out that they overpaid at one point. So, you know, good job, WWE, for overpaying... you know, paying too much to the federal government. So I've got to give him credit. So let's move on to WWE programming this week. We had Sheamus versus Wade Barrett. The mini feud that they were doing actually ends on SmackDown. How's it end, Aaron?
Yeah, ended in a lumberjack match. This is a match that had gone on the past 2 weeks, went on Raw last week and this week. And, you know, the what was happening in the matches, first of all, they were actually really good matches. I got to say, these two meshed really well together. It's something we had called on the show months ago, saying that these two actually need to feud for the title. And I'm a little disappointed that they gave us the way on free TV, but, you know, that aside, it ended in a lumberjack match after having interference in the last two, and Sheamus actually won. You know, I think it's one of those things that I really wish it was non-title and you have Wade Barrett win to set that seed. Because I think right now, you know, it was really good and it was nice to have on free TV. But I think if they feud down the road, you know, I've already seen it, you know. So I think that's the only downside to this. but it was pretty good, though.
It was, but here's my thing with it. I would be surprised if Big Show wins the title because Wade Barrett comes in, knocks Sheamus out. Big Show, 1-2-3, he gets the title. He's a champion for a little bit until Dolph tries to cash it in. I wouldn't be surprised if this happens, and then the feud starts with Big Show right off the bat and then goes right to Barrett. That would be kind of interesting to do because then they could have a full-fledged feud. Even if it's not now, maybe it's a couple months down the road and they can say, do you remember a few months ago when Bob, you beat me? I didn't like that and I'm a fighter with my elbow. I wouldn't be surprised if they continue to do something like this. It'd actually be pretty interesting. And, you know, it's nice that they set up this mini feud because this could potentially end, start something big here later on. Kind of like some of the stuff that happened in TNA. And I was like, why do they do that? Now it makes sense.
Yeah. So my only question is, though, because that's a very interesting and very logical way to look at that. Here's the only question I have for you, though. Who does Big Show feud with?
You know, I thought about this for a while. I have no idea. I thought about this on my drive to work while I was listening to one of our podcasts. And I kept thinking, who can Big Show feud with? Because it has to be a big person. You have to have someone who's big. You have Sheamus. He's a big guy. You know, so is Wade Barrett. But you got to have someone who's big. I don't see it. I right now, I don't see who they could have do it. Great Khali came back, from brain cancer. But the thing is, you can't have him face the Great Khali. Because Khali can't wrestle.
Those are horrible matches, yeah.
We've seen those matches. What do you do? Where do you go from here? That's basically what the question is. You know, who knows what they're going to do with that?
Honestly, I think that they need to put Big Show in a tag team. That's what they need to do, because the thing with Big Show is, if you saw the way he was working with Sheamus, I mean, you can tell that his knees are hurting him and that he's getting up there in age and that, he's not going to be able to do this forever. You know, he's not going to be able to. He's probably going to retire soon. And I believe he will, based on how he is in the ring and how getting out of the ring, things like that, little things. I don't think he's going to be around much longer.
Well, in the wrestling world. He is also traveling. He's been traveling for the last, I think, 3 years on a bus. So he has his own bus, which is a big investment. But him and his wife can travel on it, and he won't have to sit in a car for 3 hours to get to a crappy hotel room. He has a nice bed in the back. He can relax. But he's also trying to do too much. He's trying to be a wrestler. See, I don't think he ever was a wrestler. And then I think over the last 5 years, he's wanted to become a wrestler. And he has, but he started too late. And that's kind of sad for him. But I would like to see him, at least go another year, maybe two. I'd love to see him as the world champion. I think that Dolph should hold on to it longer. I think that he should be, Big Show. Have him be the world champion for like 6 months and then have him drop the title. And then all of a sudden, as everyone has forgot about Dolph because it's been so long, he comes in, cashes it in, like kind of what Edge did. Edge went almost a full year before he cashed his Money in the Bank. In fact, I forgot about it. Completely forgot about it. When he came out there, I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, I think a lot of people did. But, let's talk about something that was actually super exciting that happened, which is Kofi on Raw. He wrestled Miz, and he pretty much knocked him out. I mean, the hit he had on him, like Miz was busted open. It was gruesome.
Yeah, it was bad.
And so he went and faced each other on Main Event, and Kofi wins the IC title on a taped show, mm-hmm. but it's on, one of their third or, fourth shows that they have. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about this move?
It was kind of smart, but I'm wondering if maybe it wasn't planned. I've been thinking about this for a while. When it first got reported that Kofi won, I saw the show, and it was actually a really good match, especially for Ion, because I still think that Main Event's going to be a joke show, and I still think it is, because they literally tape everything in like 25 minutes, and then they have 15 to 17 minutes of crap. They basically go over what happened on Raw and whatever happened before then, last week's SmackDown, and then they tease and then they talk about what's going to happen on SmackDown this week. I think it's a joke show, and like I said, they only tape for like 25 minutes. And that's including matches and everything with them being in the ring, which I dig.
And we actually, it's funny because we talked about this on last week's show. So, you know, go back and listen to it. If you didn't listen to our weekly topic, we kind of talked about, you know, WWE programming and oversaturating the market. But getting back to the point, though, so you think that it might have been a surprise thing or like they just they weren't sure?
After Kofi hit him, which Kofi is not a sloppy wrestler. I want to point this out right now. He's not sloppy. He's very clean, very light in the ring. I'm wondering if Miz moved his head. I haven't gone back to look at it now I think about it, but I'm wondering if Miz just moved his head the wrong way and Kofi hit him improperly, which is unusual for Kofi. Maybe because Kofi basically pulled an RVD. I mean, that's the best way to look at it. I mean, he was sloppy and hurt someone. I'm wondering if he actually, because the doctors came out after the match and they were wondering if he had a concussion. I wouldn't be surprised if he actually does have a concussion. And that's why he may be off TV for a week and then come back. Or maybe they did this because it was a title and it's, you know, a joke title to a certain extent with the IC title right now. Maybe, you know, maybe it's just like, well, we got to have a title change. Well, we don't want Antonio to lose the title, so let's have The Miz drop it.
Well, I almost forgot Antonio even had the title. I actually, like, The Miz being the IC champion, I was okay with. I thought that it brought some more legitimacy to the title, and seeing him with that, it looks like he should have that title. Mm-hmm. And I think that it was a very smart thing to do. And going from, like, Cody Rhodes to, I think, who was it that had it after Cody? I forget. Yeah, but Cody had it, you know, Miz had it. Kofi has it now. And it's like, okay, you know, that's a natural progression. You know, and that's fine. That is fine. But they've really kind of made that US title the European title, pretty much. I mean, because it went from Santino to Antonio Cesaro. You know who it's going to go to next is Chavo's pet pony Pele or Pepe or whatever the name of it was. All right. That's who it's going to go to next because they're kind of making it a joke title.
Oh, by the way, Christian won the title. And then 2 months later, he dropped it to The Miz.
Yes, that's right.
Oh. And then also something that I should point. Should we talk about what happened overseas already or should we? Yeah, I think we should.
Which one?
We should talk about something that happened. Kofi won the title. Okay, he won it on Wednesday, and then something interesting happened on Thursday. Johnny Curtis won the title at a live event in Egypt. He won.
He won the U.S. title.
He won the IC title. He beat Kofi Kingston. Believe it or not, I can't make this up. He beat him on Thursday. So basically, on Thursday, not only did you have Impact. But she had Johnny Curtis, who debuted a new gimmick, and I can't remember. I think he's like a, not a gigolo, but he's a dancer or whatever. Came out, won the IC title. And do you think,
The point in this?
Well, that's the thing. Is that why Kofi won it? Because they can't, you know, it's easier to transfer the title you take it from the heel, you put it to the face, and then in a live event, bam, there you go. You know, is that how you do it? And, you know, and it could also be just a publicity stunt for the time being. You never know. Maybe all of a sudden Kofi will get it back. But it's interesting that Johnny Curtis actually got it. So let's move on to CM Punk and Ryback. Guess what's happening? They're going to be at Hell in a Cell with, I'm going to call right now, John Cena as a special guest referee. That's what I think is going to happen.
And I actually don't.
You don't think so? Because I don't think he's going to be in his corner. Cena has to be out there in some way. I mean, he's your number two superstar. You got to have him out there. He's healing fat. He's healing a lot faster than what they thought. He's been healing great.
Yeah, but they wanted to make sure that somebody was going to be able to wrestle CM Punk. I mean, you know, that just it had to be that way, right?
Right.
So there is that. My thought is this. Okay, first of all, I think that Ryback isn't ready. I'm not saying that. I think it is smart for WWE to push a superstar. And if the person has it, you know, it's okay to push him. But as I mentioned last week, you need to be slow about it and you need to be careful about pushing somebody that quickly. What I hear is the problem with this main event. There is very, very little buildup. And a Hell in a Cell match is typically a match reserved to end a feud. It's the culmination of a feud. You know, when Mick Foley and Triple H had this big feud, I think it was 01, 02, and they had like four pay-per-views in a row. That fourth pay-per-view, it was Hell in a Cell match because it's that culmination. It's like, look, obviously none of this other stuff is going to work. We got to do this right. Hell in a Cell. We're going to end this. This feud has been going on for 3-4 weeks. You know, it's not a smart thing to do. So there is that. What I think is going to happen, though, is I believe that CM Punk and Ryback it's going to go the distance, and then Brock Lesnar is going to come out there, and Brock Lesnar is going to F5 Ryback, and CM Punk's going to get the victory.
Really? You bring back Brock Lesnar now?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because Brock Lesnar Ryback feud, I'm actually interested in. Like, no joke, I'm interested in that. And if you have that be one of the headliners for Survivor Series, I'm in. You got my $50 easily. Like, no joke, Ryback versus Brock Lesnar, $50. I don't care what else is on. I don't care what else is on the card. That right there sold it for me.
I don't know about that. But it is interesting you point out that Lesnar could come back, though. I mean, that's, you know, now you got me kind of speechless, because that makes sense. You bring him, you have Ryback basically manhandle CM Punk, and all of a sudden, and then you have Brock Lesnar come out of the crowd, F5 Ryback, and then you have a few, then CM Punk comes over, 1-2-3, gets the win, and then you have a feud set up, and Lesnar is a Paul Heyman guy with CM Punk. You have their little stable.
Mm-hmm. The main thing that you got to think about here is that you don't want to make Ryback look weak. And at the same time, CM Punk, having him win the title, or having him lose the title to Ryback, just would be, I think, one of the biggest gaffes that WWE could do. Because that, you're saying that this is a guy who has really legitimized the title. He's held for this long, taking on all comers, you know, taking down Daniel Bryan, Chris Jericho, John Cena, and others, and now you're going to just give it to some up-and-comer who could fail miserably. You got to realize that, you know, Prince Albert, they thought that they were going to go somewhere with him. And Ryback, yeah, he has the tagline, he has the look and everything else. He could fail, though. He could just be a complete failure, and then you could turn him into Jack Swagger, and that's what you don't want to do. So that would be the only thing I'm really concerned about. I'm going to be very interested to talk about this in 2 weeks after the pay-per-view, because I think it's going to be – I'm really excited, actually, for the ending of this. That's what I'm excited for.
All right. Let's move on and thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosting provider? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use the special coupon code section8686 or off the mark, and you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite every web hosting costs. Also, while you're looking at the video for Mr. Daivari, make sure you check out the WWE Shop banner at the top. Click on that. Spend more than $70. And guess what? You get $10 off that order. Also, make sure you check out highspots.com. Let's move on to Impact Wrestling, as they want to be called now. So, something big happened. Joey Ryan versus Al Snow happened. And how did Joey Ryan win?
Joey Ryan won because Matt Morgan came into the ring. And, you know, we were talking about whether or not, I mean, is this going to be a Diesel Shawn Michaels thing, or how? What are they going to do with this? I got to say, it's just kind of a surprise to me, because I didn't expect this. I thought Joey Ryan was just going to win like in a normal way, or, you know, kind of sleazily win. I thought Matt Morgan was going to be part of Aces and Eights, so this is different, you know? What did you think of it?
I thought it was interesting because I thought that Matt Morgan was done. I legitimately thought that it was done. I thought he was done. But apparently... Nope. He's back. He came back. He's with Joey Ryan. And I find it hilarious about the whole situation. So good for them. So the other thing also we need to talk about that was just an awesome match. James Storm and Bobby Roode, they end the match, and it's just a bloodbath. I mean, blood everywhere. Storm wins 1-2-3. What did you think about this match?
I got to say, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought that this was, you know, these two wrestled at 2 pay-per-views, 3 pay-per-views earlier this year. And, you know, they were okay. They weren't too bad. I felt that this match, like, it was maybe match of the night. Like, I mean, this is one of those, we talk about WrestleMania moments, we talk about how, you know, certain people pull out all stops, and this, you know, for Bound for Glory, I mean, they really said, look guys, go out there and make this good, you know, make this worthwhile. And these two did. They brought it, and they made the build up to the match worthwhile. I was very impressed by this, and I mean, these two, you know, I don't want them to overdo this feud, you know, because I feel they already have. But I got to say, I was very pleasantly pleased with this. You know, if they had a Hell in a Cell match or a ladder match to end it, I would be fine with that.
Yeah, it's just interesting that they ended it this way. So anyway, so another match that was pretty decent. RVD opened up the show against Zema Ion.
Mm-hmm.
Opened the show up against Zema Ion. One thing I got to say, though, great.
These two actually work kind of well together.
It was one of those things. Not only was it a good match, it was the curtain jerker, but RVD's now the champ. He's your X Division champ.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go from this point now?
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm worried about.
Because it wasn't defended on Impact, and you think it would have been, but nope.
It's got to be defended next week because it's championship week. I got to say, I don't know where they're going to go from here. I don't even have speculation for this, honestly. I have no speculation. I have no idea what to say. I think that RVD could help launch Zema Ion, though, into stardom with this. If they keep this feud going, I think that'd be the smart thing to do. It's TNA. You never know. You never know. Maybe they're like RVD, you know, like, we got nothing for you. So here's a title. Here's a random title, you know, for you. So it'll be interesting to see. But Andy, I think, you know, one of the biggest news, of course, Jeff Hardy wins the TNA title. So I got to ask you, what were your thoughts on the match and also on the ending to it?
I didn't like the ending. I thought the fact that Aries lost and the way he did it was horrible, because it's almost like they put the title on him because they thought he had so much momentum, and then now they take it off him. It hurts him. It hurts his character. I think that they hurt Austin Aries because of this. When is he going to have his rematch? You know, it's going to be at the next pay-per-view, of course, against Jeff Hardy. But my thinking is, why do this now? It should have been, I would have loved it if Aries would have actually won, but he cheated to win. Like, he hit Jeff in the crotch or something like that, so he got DQ'd. So the next match is a no DQ, sure. And then if he dropped it, I'd be okay with. But the fact that the first match he loses to him, I just don't like it. And the fact that, like, when he took that bump and he rose like half up, I was like, come on. Come on, dude. Seriously. You're a wrestler. You know, you wait till, you know, a few seconds before. You wait till he's actually in the air, not like, you know, to help with that bump to make it look better, but whatever.
I will say I actually agree with you. Before this, I picked Hardy to win also, and Hardy did win. I actually, during the pay-per-view, I was sitting there thinking, you know what? Actually, Austin Aries should retain. Austin Aries should retain this title. And he should retain it just the way you said, and then lose at the next pay-per-view. You know, Hardy winning the title was not a bad thing. I just think that they did it maybe a little too early. I think, you know, next pay-per-view would have been perfect. I also thought that the ending was a little weird. Having Hardy win, okay, yeah, that's fine. Let's have him win then. But the ending, I think they could have had a little more pizzazz to it. You know, like he did two twist of fates, you know, he did two swantons, you know, to put the chair. That's how strong he is. He had to do two to put this guy out. So that was the only thing I was kind of like about. I'm okay with Hardy having the title. I mean, he debuted the new belt on Impact. I don't know. I still don't like them kind of going with this kind of custom route. I don't think that's a good thing to do. I actually like their title. I like their old title too. And then the new one, you know, that I'm fine with that. I don't think that you should have to have custom titles for everybody. When Jeff Hardy first had the custom title, it made sense because he was a heel. You don't have to do this crazy thing over and over again. That's dumb, in my opinion.
Yeah, I do agree. Hey, I got to talk about something also. D-Von, the biggest swerve I saw in a while. He is a part of Aces and Eights. But I don't think they ever said he was the head of Aces and Eights.
He's not.
He's just a part of it.
Yeah.
So who is the head? That's what Jeff Jarrett. Trying to figure. Well, I thought Jeff Jarrett, and I was like, maybe they should do a whole thing with Bubba. you know, have Bully Ram, and have him actually be the head honcho. But then more and more I thought about it, I was like, no, you can't do that. You just can't do that. Not now.
But it'd be kind of weird. I agree. I think it was actually a really big swerve. I'm not a huge D-Von fan. When I saw that it was him, I'm like, oh, wait. I mean, he left, though. Like, he's gone. He's out of here. Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. You know? I was very, very surprised. I actually think it was a smart thing to do. And D-Von doesn't even have a TNA contract. I mean, I'm sure he signed one now. But his contract expired.
Well, I think this is all part of the storyline. I think that him and Bully signed at the same time. And I thought that they said, like, hey, let's turn you heel. What do you think about doing this? And he was probably like, okay, let's do it. You know, because he could go back home. He could relax. He didn't have to be shown, you know. Unlike, you know, yeah. One thing I found hilarious, by the way, Garrett Bischoff's been one of the guys in Aces and Eights that has been playing one of them. And I thought it was interesting that he came out this week when Ace and Eights actually showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was really interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, also, I just really want to point out very quickly, TV title was defended this week. So Angle is going to face Jeff Hardy next week. And what happened here was it was a triple threat, number one contender match. I'm kind of surprised they're doing it so quickly, though. Why not do it at the pay-per-view? You mm-hmm. know, kind of put a little bit more emphasis on there. And then Austin Aries can, of course, say, hey, you know what? I didn't get my match. And then you can have him, you know, face the champion at the next pay-per-view. And then you have a full, like, oh, hey, here's a list of stuff going on. Obviously, you know, Angle's not going to win next week. We know this. He's just going to help legitimize Hardy a little bit more. And then Hardy's going to face Austin Aries at the next pay-per-view.
Aries will come, Aries will come in and beat up Jeff Hardy. Angle wins by DQ.
Yeah. Well, Hardy would win by DQ.
No, he'd go up and actually beat. Oh, I guess you're right. Never mind. yeah. Hardy would win by DQ. But
or whatever it is, you know, like. But anyway, so Andy, I want to talk about for our weekly topic. I would like to talk about the build up to Bound for Glory and whether or not it paid off. So, you know, one of the things that we had talked about prior is, you know, you have this long tournament. You have this long, drawn-out process. And, you know, looking at it while it's going on, we can look at it somewhat objectively. But we can't really look at it as a whole until it's all done. So it's all done.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, did it pay off?
I think it did pay off because they took their time. They built this up properly. They went, well, gosh, they started this three or four months ago now. And it's been built up the entire time. It's kind of like WrestleMania builds up basically from Elimination Chamber to
Royal Rumble.
Well, I guess you could say Royal Rumble, but it really starts right around Elimination Chamber. So you have from Elimination Chamber, which I think is in early February this year, to WrestleMania that's in the early part of April, which is a long time. That's a buildup that they have. But they do have more shows, unlike Impact that has, you know, they have Impact Wrestling and they have Explosion. I thought it was built up properly for the time frame that they had. I thought they did a good job. Basically, you can call this, if they did two shows a week, it was basically a two-month build-up. I thought it was done good. I was very happy with the outcome. I thought the pay-per-view was definitely worth the $55. I'm still in shock on how good it was. It was just a great pay-per-view overall. You know, I don't mind giving my money to TNA when it's actually a decent pay-per-view. If it's a crappy one, of course, I'm going to sit there and make fun of them and all that fun stuff. Good job. Kudos. I'm glad they built it up properly. You know, the Bound for Glory series I thought was done good, too. I was happy about that. So.
Absolutely. And I agree. I think they did a really good job building up, you know, to the pay-per-view. You know, having this is all about Bound for Glory. And I actually think that they did a great job. The only thing and I've said this before, I really think they should cut down pay-per-views. I think if you had the one less pay-per-view in between there and you had a two-month build-up to a pay-per-view where it's like, look, hey, obviously this is this big of a deal. It's 2 months worth until this match. I think I might, you know, that'd be something I would probably do. But like I said, you know, it's minor grievances. I'm very happy with the product. And I think that they did a tremendous job. Whoever their head writer is now needs to stay there. And he has a plan, and I can tell he has a plan. Yeah, that he's going to have some crappy ideas, But I think that the vast majority of his product that he is producing right now is for the better. And so hats off to TNA. Bound for Glory, I think, delivered. They need to go up from here, though. They need to build these new stars. Jeff Hardy having the title is fine, but you need to help build new stars. And that's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And, you got to give TNA, you got to give a promotion credit when credit is due. And with everything they did, especially with D-Von, I was very happy about. I think they did a superb job teasing a lot of stuff. Now, this is basically their WrestleMania, so now Aces and Eights, so we know D-Von's a member. For the next year, they're going to start unmasking people, which we know Mike Knox is one of them, and we also know that, of course, Luke Gallows is one of them as well. So it's going to be very interesting to see where they take it from here, because I think Bound for Glory will be a success if TNA is a success from here on out. As in, like, if they put on great quality shows, everything makes sense, kudos to them at that time.
Mm-hmm,
it's
absolutely
one of those things we got to sit back and wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, so I have to talk about one more thing real quick. WWE Saturday Morning Slam, awesome show. Check it out. Should be airing probably about the time you're listening to the show. Definitely check it out. It's great for kids. The viewership has gone up. They gained another 100,000 viewers because it is a kid's show. So it's very good. Also, I have one more. I have a correction that I need to tell you about. Johnny Curtis did not win the title. Apparently, someone was on Wikipedia and decided to mess with us because Curtis is not even in Egypt. So Kofi Kingston is still your IC champ. I apologize. I completely apologize that I messed up. But Kofi Kingston is still your IC champion. And over in Egypt, he actually defeated Cody Rhodes and The Miz in a match. So Kofi Kingston is your IC champ still. I am wrong. I'm sorry. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show on OffMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And of course, I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.